Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to look at the announcements. I know the last page, I think, of your announcements has the schedule for all of our Lenten activities and Easter activities. A couple of things to highlight there. One is that this week for our Lenten rotational, we will be at the Methodist Church, and the schedule for that is 6 o'clock supper, 7 o'clock worship. Also on Wednesdays here at St. Paul, we do have a morning devotional service on Wednesdays, and that is at 10 o'clock in the chapel. Also on there, you see the Good Friday services. We have two services, one in the morning and one in the evening. We will be doing Stations of the Cross once again, and I do need some readers. I think between those two services, we need about 28 readers. So if you would like to read, Jay Heil is going to help me out with this. See Jay Heil after the worship service, and he can get you signed up and also give you your reading part for that. So if you can help, it'd be great. And just designate which service you would like to come to. Okay. Lori, you got an announcement.
I just wanted to remind everyone that we're having the Seder meal next Sunday after church. That's for everyone, so please come over and join us. There's still several ways that you can help if you're interested and able to help out with that meal. There will be a sign-up sheet when you're leaving church today, so please check that out. And then I also have, there are some questions that are read during the meal by children, so I'm looking for a few first and second graders who would be interested in reading these questions to sign up with me after church. Thank you.
Anybody else with announcements? All right. Then we begin with our opening hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's printed in your bulletin. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the commandments of God to his people.
I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his cattle or anything that is your neighbor's. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life and bring me to everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, look favorably upon your family. Graciously rule our bodies, lest we are enticed to love the world. And guard our spirits, lest we fail to recognize your love. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, For Those Tears I Died. You may be seated.
Came so close, you sent me away. The first reading is from the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord. Lord, watch you for the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. The second reading is from the 8th chapter of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous required of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
This morning you may sit down for the reading of the Gospel. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord. At this point, I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I know everybody's stretching. I see stretching going on out there. It's the end of spring break. Isn't it terrible? Come on up. I've got some questions for you today. Hope everybody had a good spring break. Okay, good. I like that. I like to hear when people are having a good time. All right. So, I'm going to write a job description today, and I need your help. Okay? All right. I want to describe the best friend, my best friend, okay? So what things do we need to have for my best friend? What?
Love.
Love, that's a good one. Okay, we'll put that one down. Okay, love. What else we got? Trust. That's good. What other things can you think of? Yes?
Faith.
Faith, that's a good one too. All right. We're doing pretty good there. All right, any others?
Honesty.
We're doing pretty good. That's a good list. One more. You got another one?
Happiness.
You want a friend to be happy when you're happy, right? Mm-hmm. What about the other side of that, though? Would you like a friend to be sad when you're sad?
No. I'm sad.
Well, you want them to be sad with you, wouldn't they? Because you would want them to want to try to help you, right? You wouldn't want them going around, ha, 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 you know, when you're sad, right? So let's say be sad when you're sad too, okay? All right, well, that's a pretty good list there. And today in the gospel lesson, we have two friends. We have Jesus and Lazarus. Now, there's something really interesting in that gospel lesson. Believe it or not, in this big, long reading is, here's a little nugget for you, the shortest verse in the entire Bible. And it's just two words. But it shows us what kind of a friend we have with Jesus and what kind of friend Jesus was with Lazarus. The two words are, Jesus wept. He was sad because all the people were sad that Lazarus had died. But he knew something else. He knew something special. He knew what he was here for and that he had more than just that friend. He had us as friends. He had left everything from his Father in heaven, given up everything. He had a nice, comfortable place up there. And he came down here to live with us, teach us, and help us learn about God's love. And then he knew that he was going to do this right up here. He was going to die on the cross. Not just for Lazarus, but for you and for me and for everybody else out there. Matter of fact, he even says it in the gospel lesson, and he left us a question. Now, this is a question you don't have to answer right now, but I want you to take it with you today and think about it this week as you go back to school and go back to everything that you normally do and think about what this question says, okay? It says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. That cross didn't end it. We've got Easter coming yet. Ooh, yeah, that's a neat thing, isn't it? But then he asks the question, do you believe this? I don't expect an answer. I want you to take it with you. And then I'm going to leave you with one more question. This one comes from me. As you go out this week, can you say that Jesus is your friend? Think about that one. I know the answer. But even if the answer's opposite what I think it is, I hope you'll think about it this week. And think about how Jesus can be your friend and all the wonderful things that he's done just for us. That he wept, he'll weep when we weep, he'll be happy when we're happy, but most importantly, he's very happy if we believe and have faith in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all our friends. We thank you for all our friends here at this church. And we also thank you, dear Lord, that you are our friend. Help us to remember that you are our friend every minute of every day, and you walk with us wherever we walk. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Have a good week. Hope you think about those two questions, okay?
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A fire and brimstone stern preacher started his sermon one Sunday morning. It is a fearful thing that one day every member of this congregation is going to die. And that got everybody sitting up straight and looking very stern, or very, very stern, all except one man sitting on the front row. And he had a smile on his face. And so the preacher looked him straight in the eye. Let me repeat myself. It is a fearful thing that one day every member of this congregation is going to die. And the man had a bigger grin on his face. And that irritated the preacher. He was getting red in the face, and it irritated the preacher. And he said, Sir, what do you find so amusing by that statement? And the man said, I don't find it amusing at all, but I'm terribly relieved. You see, I'm not a member of this congregation. Death is one of those things we don't like to think about, but it does surround us. We had a funeral yesterday here at the church. Many of you have lost loved ones, maybe parents, grandparents, a spouse, maybe even a child. Maybe you've lost your best friend along the way. Death is one of those things we don't want to see, we don't want to hear about, we don't want to deal with. But death is not only at the very end of our lives here on this earth. Death also happens to us all the way through life. In each stage of life, we go through small deaths, such as at middle age. We see ourselves slowing down a little bit. Maybe we don't have the energy or the stamina that we used to. Maybe we can't work as long as we wanted to. And we want to deny that we're getting older. And so we do crazy things, like maybe go out and buy a sports car. Or maybe we become workaholics, even more so workaholics, and we ignore our spouse, we ignore our children. We don't pay the attention to them that they need. Or sometimes we even get rid of our spouse and go see if we can find that young love once again, that spark in somebody else. We don't want to admit that we are starting to get older. And so we do crazy things. In advanced age as well then too. We realize that our hair may be turning gray or it may be falling out. We have more wrinkles. We have more spots. The aches and pains are more common, if not always there. We get disease a little bit more. Our eyesight starts to go. Our hearing starts to go. Our teeth go away. And we don't want to admit. We don't want to look forward to what is still coming. One man faced it this way. Every morning he would get up. First thing he would do is go out his front door into his front lawn, pick up the newspaper, and look at the obituaries. If his name was not there, he'd go in and have breakfast. Even at young age, that those little deaths come along then too. There once was a mother and her son. And her son was a good child. He didn't get into much trouble. He made decent grades at school. But the thing was, is he was a slob. The whole house was scattered with his stuff. Anywhere he'd go, he'd just be dropping stuff. His coat, his books, his toys, his sports equipment, his hat, shoes, socks. Wherever it would go, there would be stuff of his scattered around the house. And his room was a disaster area. And his mother tried all sorts of stuff to get him to pick up after himself. And finally, one day, she said, "Son, you are getting old enough to pick up after yourself. You're getting of that age. You're starting to grow up. And so here's what I'm going to do. So every time that I have to pick up after you, for every item that I pick up, I am going to charge you a nickel." And so at the end of the first week, she presents her son with a bill for $1.65. Later in that day, her son brings the payment with a note, plus 50-cent tip. And the note said, "Thanks, Mom. Keep up the good work." In all ages, we go through those stages. We go through those stages where we see that we are no longer as we were before. And a lot of those are small deaths. And in when we're young, we don't want to grow up. And sometimes it takes people to be at least in their 30s before they grow up. As in middle age then, we don't want to admit that we're slowing down or we can't do the things that we wanted to do. That the zest for life is just not there. And that old age, with pains and aches and the loss of those people around us, we know it's coming. We don't want to face death. We don't want to talk about it. We want to hide. We want to close ourselves up and just not even deal with it. When God came and looked at this world, and he saw the trouble that this world was in, the mess that everybody was in, God could have just wiped out humanity and started over fresh. Start with a new Adam and Eve, or start with a whole new creation of people who were not such a mess. But he didn't do that. Instead, God took a risk. God took a risk with his son. The risk was that the son would come into the world and be rejected, that he would be hurt, that he would be beaten, that he would be tortured, or that maybe even he would be killed. And that's the risk that God took in order to save the humanity who was here. In our gospel lesson today, we hear that story of Jesus raising Lazarus. Lazarus has been buried in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus comes. You can see in the story all the emotions that go on with the death, the grief, the weeping, the crying, the accusations. Mary and Martha both said the same thing. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And in that statement, you not only hear that kind of accusation or that anger, but you also hear the faith, knowing that Jesus can do wonderful things, that there was always hope that God could turn life around somehow. So Jesus and everybody else goes out to the grave. And he says, open the door. Roll back the stone. And again, you hear that trepidation. No, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days. The body is decaying. It's going to stink. But they rolled the stone away. They had that fear. But the stone was rolled away. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man comes out. But he's not dead anymore. He's alive. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. And Lazarus is well. We want to stay in our caves. We want to stay tucked away. We don't want to take the risk because we may be hurt. We may be beaten. We may be rejected. We don't want to take the risk in faith. We don't want to step forward into our life. We don't want to recognize that we do go through deaths. We don't want to realize that new doors open up, though, when we take the risk. New opportunities in life happen. Life becomes more abundant when we take the risk and move forward. To open that door, to come out and have us unbound. And that's what Christ did. He opened up life for us. He calls us to come out. And he raises us up to new life, giving us life abundantly. This story takes place a short time before Jesus himself is arrested. And he goes through all those things that we read about in Holy Week. He dies on the cross for us, but then he also raises to new life. This story is a foreshadowing of that. But it's a foreshadowing then, too, of us being raised from the dead. And not only being raised from the dead at the end of life, but being raised from the deaths that we go through throughout the different stages of life. He raises us up. He puts us on a new level. He puts us on a new path that we may always follow Jesus and be one of his disciples, that we may be opened up and that we may be released and that we may be unbound to serve God and to serve each other. Amen. Our hymn for the day is Blind Man. I need to say a few words about this song. It's a song that I learned a number of years ago at camp. I think several years ago, too. It was also a part of the VBS program 1 year, that this was one of the songs that was in that VBS program. And we sing it in our Sunday school or our different youth events around here. And when we start playing this song, you may say, why are we singing this song? And why are we singing it in Lent? Because it does have a fairly fast pace to it. But if you look at this song, it fits perfectly at this point right now. 2 weeks ago, the story in the gospel was the woman at the well. And we've been following stories in John's gospel here during Lent. And in John's gospel, one of the things that runs throughout the gospel is what's known as the I am sayings. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the gate. And we've had all three of these last weeks now. That 2 weeks ago, we had the story of the woman at the well, and he says, I am he, the one who brings truth. Last week, we had the story of the blind man, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. The man was looking for a way, was looking for a way through life, and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then today, we hear the story of the raising of Lazarus. And if you noticed earlier in that reading, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, where Jesus says, another I am saying that Jesus says is towards the very end. And I think this is the last I am statement. It's on the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was going to be arrested. Jesus tells them, I'm going to a place. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Thomas asks, or Jesus says, and you know the way. And Thomas asks, Lord, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then as he hangs on that cross, that is exactly what he is saying. I am the way. I'm the way for your salvation. I am the truth. This is the truth of God, that God sent me here to show his love for me to die for you so that you don't have to die. And I am the life, that even though we die, we shall live again. So we sing the song, Blind Man. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We believe in him and are marked with the seal. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer that he would be merciful to his people. Lord, we live in a valley of deathly shadows. Thank you for Jesus, who calls us by name from our tombs. Help us to firmly believe that his is our resurrection and our life. Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your spirit upon your church. Make it the living body of Jesus in the world. In word and sacrament and by deeds of mercy and forgiveness, let it share your life and grace with all who are held captive to sin, evil, and death. Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your spirit upon all missionaries, pastors, and theologians. By their faithful preaching and acts of charity, grant life and salvation to those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your Holy Spirit upon all who lead the nations, especially our own. Fill them with wisdom, understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord, and joy in doing your will. Help them work for the welfare of their people. Give your grace and peace to us all, Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your Spirit upon all who risk their lives to defend life and liberty. Keep them faithful, true, and bold. Shield and direct them in perilous situations. Raise and heal them when they fall. Deliver them into a place of safety when their task has ended. Lord, in your mercy. Breathe your spirit upon all who suffer, including Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Margie Bolting, Larry Miller, Lana Creech, Bob Derlich, Avery Martin, Evelyn Merks, B. McNabb, Bob Troutman, Jordan Peterson, Nancy Guidry, and for all social workers and for the families of Wanda Rohan and Corey Goodall. And Lord, we also ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Holy and gracious Father, thank you for calling your faithful servants by name out of death and into your eternal life. Breathe your spirit upon us, for we are still troubled by sin, death, and the devil. Give us grace to comfort, encourage, and help each other along life's road. Grant us faith to confess your Son as the resurrection and the life, the one who has come into the world to bring us salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you all, now and forever. Our closing hymn, "How Great Thou Art."
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you leave, you're invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.